Galatians chapter 6, and then turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and then 1 Timothy chapter 6. This wasn't what I was going to preach on, but the Lord seemed like it changed my mind and turned my heart toward this direction. Galatians chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. You know, there's a lot of deception going on today around this country, around this nation. There's deception from the White House all the way down to the church house. Never before in my life as a Christian, never before in my life have I ever, since I've come to the understanding and able to understand, have I seen so much deception. Deception in churches. Deception in pulpits. You can get anything and everything out here in this world. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of man's opinions in this world today. And so it must have been like that in Paul's day. I know he was having to deal with those Judaizers everywhere he went nearly. They was wanting to come in. They wanted to corrupt the message of pure grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Paul was a grace preacher. And he run into those Judaizers everywhere he went, those that wanted to add to the message. They wanted to make merchandise of men's flesh. Now, we all know there's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. It's a free gift this morning. It's an offer that stands to every individual in this world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus died for all men. And the blood that He shed for all men. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know as Bible believers what the Bible teaches, and I'm just simple-minded enough to just believe the Bible. I believe that word all means all. Paul says, for God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. But we see a lot of deception today. I talked to a young man in my at my shop on one day last week, and I began to ask him, as a Hispanic young man, nice young man, and he goes to church. He goes to a Pentecostal church in the area, and I began to ask him if he was saved, and he, you know what he said, don't you? Hope so. I said, you know your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven? I hope I am. I said, well, you know the Bible teaches that we don't have to hope. We are. This is a no-so thing. And friend, if you're not 100% sure this morning, hey, that your sins are forgiven, that you're going to heaven, and that you have eternal life, present tense. You don't have to wait till you die to get eternal life. You got it present tense. If you're not 100% sure of that this morning, I'd be up here in this altar right now. I'd be getting assurance of that. We have a no-so salvation. There's nothing that I can do to lose it. There's nothing that you can do. If you really got it and you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit has taken up His abode in you, then you're eternally kept by the power of God. A lot of deception about that today. A lot of people don't have that assurance in their hearts today because people are not Bible believers. This Bible teaches eternal security. Even the Old Testament teaches eternal security. Ecclesiastes 3:14, I love that verse, Brother Melvin. For whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever, that men should fear before Him. God don't halfway do nothing. I'm saved. I'm being saved. And one of these days I'll be completely saved when Jesus comes back. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called... I don't have an outline this morning much, so you're just going to have to bear with me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him as He is. That rapture is in the Bible. That word might not be, but the idea of the rapture, the catching away, the caught up to be with Jesus, it's in the Bible. And the reason a lot of them can't get a hold of that, they just don't study their Bible. They don't want to change as far as their doctrinal beliefs. But if you're saved, you need to have that assurance. You need to be able to tell somebody why you're saved. You need to be able to tell somebody how you got saved. It ain't because you had a life-saving experience that a car run over you and you didn't die or something. That ain't salvation, friend. Salvation is when you take your place as a sinner and you realize that you're a hell-deserving person, that Jesus paid your price on Calvary, and that you have the assurance of going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. They're gone. Now, I have to keep those things confessed. I'm not sinless. Whether you believe that or not, I am not sinless. The birds still fly over my head. I still have moments of having to deal with anger. I have to bring my body under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I'm like Paul, I become a castaway, I become unusable. I might sin, but I'm still saved. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. But glory to God, I'm not what I'm going to be one of these days when Jesus comes back. But there's a lot of deception. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, that's the truth of the Word of God. You're sowing today something. You're either sowing to your flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. And there's going to come a reaping day. I've planted too many gardens, plowed too many pieces of ground for you to tell me that there's not going to be a reaping day one of these days. I've been sowing seed down here for almost a year now. It's coming up. You're going to either receive it or you're going to reject it. I've tried to preach the Word of God to the best of my ability. I've tried to rightly divide that book. And that verse is still in the Bible. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. I planted a cornfield down there last year. I didn't reap tomatoes. I didn't reap green beans out of that field of corn. I reaped some Silver Queen and some field corn. Trucker's favorite, I believe, is what it was. It come off them big stalks. That trucker's favorite did. That field corn, that sweet corn come off them little short stalks. Man, that was good corn. But I didn't reap no tomatoes or anything off of that. There's a reaping day coming, folks. And we're going to stand before a thrice holy God one of these days, and we're going to give an account of our stewardship. Now, sin was judged on Calvary. When Jesus bowed His head and gave up the ghost, He said, Telestai, it is finished. He paid the sin debt for all mankind. The devil would like to keep you confused. He'd like to get you to that point you didn't know which way to go. God's given us life. And we're sowing and reaping today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Very misquoted verse sometimes. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Which while some coveted after. You can be seated. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I'm preach most everything. I was going to preach something else, but it seemed like the Lord just kept turning me toward these passages of Scripture. This morning I've done studied up, and maybe I can preach that tonight. I don't know what I was going to preach this morning. But this thought come to me the other day. And this man of God up in Indiana that's been preaching, he's been preaching on the circumstance, situation that's taking place today. And I told Debbie, I said, "I got me a message the other day. It seemed like the Lord gave me another thought this morning. Men or money, men, morals, and marriage. Money, men, morals, and marriage." You know what affects your life most of the time? Money. The love of money. You know why people a lot of times neglect their responsibility of coming to the house of God? Because they got money. Because they've got money. They can go places. Even poor people now, Brother Tony, they got money. You say, "How you know that?" Because most of them got cell phones. Even the poor people have got cell phones. When I was growing up, there were some little old houses in our community down around where I live where they used to, I guess, it was basically slaves, I guess, that used to live there, probably. Little old clapboard house, you can look through the floors and see the chickens under the house. And I've seen people living in some of them houses. They worked for some of the farmers in the local community. Some of them were black families. One of them was Mr. Buster. I used to see him. He'd hobble along the side of the road down there on Cato Road. They lived in a little old rack shack down there beside the creek in the holler going up before you get to Mr. Otis Cato's house there for years and years. Those people were poor. You know old Buster, he worked all those years, and I guess he lived there for nothing. He didn't have nothing. But you know, I bet they were happy. My grandpa raised my daddy and 8 children on a 1-horse farm. You know, they just have started dying, that family. My grandpa left them all 10 acres of land and $10,000, I think. And he kept 20 acres of land for himself. He had a 100-acre farm there. He never had no money, but he had most money that he'd ever made. He saved that and he'd laid it up for his kids. Hey, there was no love of money in my granddaddy's heart, and he didn't go to church a whole lot. He was a saved man. He said he got it saved on the boat going to England in World War I. My grandmother died at 66 years old. She could still jump off the front porch. She was pretty active, and she must have had a heart attack or stroke or something during the night one night, and she passed away. But my grandpa has saved up enough money to give all his kids $10,000 each and 10 acres. And he kept 20 acres for himself. My brother owns that 20 acres now, still in the family there. All of it's still in the family except for 15 acres, I think. My dad's the oldest. He's 90 years old. He preached a funeral yesterday. Never been no love of money in my dad's heart. They ain't never wanted for nothing. He was a bricklayer, worked hard. For the love of money is root of all evil, which while some coveted thereafter, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know why a lot of people are working today on Sunday? A lot of them. Because they love money. It's time, halftime. They're wanting things. They neglect the house of God. They neglect their children. You know why cheat people out of money? You know why there's so many crooks in this world? Because of love of money. Money. I know we got to have it. It ain't the money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of the money. You know, so, a lot of people, they love money so much, they won't even give to the church their expected tithes. They won't give back. That's why they struggle all the time. That's why a lot of people struggle, because they won't pay their tithes. As far as I know, Brother Keith, I'm up on my tithes. We've been tithing since we were teenagers. We got married when we was teenagers. Debbie's 16. I wouldn't advise our 16-year-old girls to get married today. But my wife was 16. And Miss Ewing, we paid tithes ever since we've been married. As far as I know, we have paid 10%. First we started out, we was taking it off the bottom line. You know, after taxes. We were paying it like that. I think we're probably paying off the top now. That's one of my bills. That's what I owe. I owe my tithes. Some of you wouldn't give tithes. You afraid you ain't going to have something. Reason you ain't got nothing. Reason you're struggling because you won't give it back to God. I'm talking about money now. I'm talking about the love of money. I think I got a hold of the right message this morning. I'm glad I didn't go that other way. I started to just go ahead with my message that I had that I thought was good. Money. If you love money more than you love the Lord, there's something wrong in your heart. Miss Sarah, I've paid my tithes and I've given to missions. I've given to missions. We were, when I left Zion Hill, we were, I think, giving $300 or $400 a month to missions above my tithes. Never regretted none of that. Actually, we missed no meals. We had to go on diet and lose some weight. We got too big. I work. Boss said, man won't work or eat. You know why some people ain't got nothing? Because they won't work. They're lazy. And then there's some people that like to work, can't work, unable to work. And then there's some people that work and they make money and they make it hand over fist. They won't give back to God. And they pierce themselves. That word pierce means to penetrate throughly. They pierce themselves through. They pierce themselves through to their soul and their spirit, and they've corrupted themselves. And what's it going down there to say? Now, I'm preaching on reaping and sowing, but I'm talking about money, men, morals, and marriage. We're just hitting on the money right now. You better be careful about this thing of love and money. Money can't buy you love. And money can't buy you happiness. A lot of people are living it up today. You know God's so good to us. He's a good God. I think He tries people sometimes. He lets them have that money just see if they can handle it. I'm not bragging, but I think he let me try it, and he let me work, and I worked hard, and I worked. And Brother Keith, here's what I've done. When my kids were younger, I spent too much time working. I wasn't preaching. I was working day at the Honda place. I'd go home, and I'd work till 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I shouldn't have probably been working those hours at night. All the time. But I wanted my family, the house, the things that we needed, and it was a struggle. I never made a lot of money. I don't have no retirement. But you know what? I'm trusting the Lord. I believe He's going to take care of us. I believe He's going to take care of us. I can run a little bit. He's blessed us. Money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some have coveted after they've erred from faith. You know why a lot of people ain't in the house of God this morning? Because they've erred from faith. There's some people just go to the house of God just enough to make them miserable. They want to appease God, they think. Well, if I go Sunday morning, I'm okay. You know, you can't find Sunday night preacher and Wednesday night in the Bible. They went up temple three times a day that our church did pray, I think. Three times a day. A day. 7 days a week, that's 21 times. Is that 21 times a week? 7 days, yeah. Three, yeah. If they were doing it all the time. We need church. The reason a lot of people have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows because they've coveted after money. They want things. They're never satisfied with what they got. They got to have one more thing. Got to have one more gun. We got to have one more golf club. Pierced themselves through. They've penetrated their soul. That's why they have no. They've got calloused. Might need to check up, see if we've been born again. I want to tell you, God would have loved my heart to go to the house of God. I ain't going deer hunting on Sunday. I'm not sitting in a tree stand, no worse. I don't play golf, and if I did, I wouldn't go on Sunday. They used to have blue laws against all this stuff. We'll use the Lord's Day for anything and everything to fulfill our pleasures. I'm talking about money now. And that's why a lot of people err from faith, because of the love of money. Money, and then men. Boy, I'm telling you, we've got away from what a man used to be. What a man ought to be. Men that stand up and be the head of the home. That would set the example of honesty to their family. We're going to pay our bills. Hey, we're going to do right. It don't matter what the world's doing, we're going to do right. Like Joshua the old, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need some men that stand up and be men. We need some women that let their husbands stand up and be men. Most women rule in a roost. They's talking in there about who's... You know who fouled up this thing of prayer? I know the devil's the instigator of it, with a woman. It started back in the 60s when Madam O'Hara, she went before and they voted prayer out of our school system. It was by a woman. Sin entered into this world because Adam sinned. But who was deceived? Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Satan, she got out from under her head. And I'm going to tell you, when women get out from under their head, that's why the homes are in turmoil. That's why the churches are in turmoil. Hey, there's a lot of churches I know in this county that's run by women. Why? Because men won't be men. I went to church one time with a candidate for a pastor, and the men wasn't doing nothing. They wasn't leading the singing. They wasn't doing nothing. may have been a couple of them reading out of a Sunday school book. He said, "You're being hard on us this morning." No, I'm just telling you what's wrong today. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The reason we're reaping in our churches today and lack the power of God is because this stuff started happening back yonder in the 60s, and men wouldn't fill their place in the home and in the church, and we're in a mess today. Most women that are saved, they want a man. I'm not talking about somebody that's a dictator. Me and my wife, we discuss things. I've never just went around ahead and said, "Bless God, we're doing this." She's helped pay the bills down through the years too. But she's not my boss. I'm the one that's going to give an account for how our home was ordered. You know, a woman to get under that, under God's plan and get under that umbrella of protection, she's got the best position in the world. Bucko, you're the one that's going to answer to God. And there's a lot of men got a lot to give account for. We're going to give account for our kids, the way they act, the way they turn out. It ain't mama's fault. A lot of times it's mama's fault. Daddy can't do nothing because she's ruling the roost because she won't let him. I tell you what my daddy used to do. He'd tear me up. He didn't cut me no slack. He'd see me after the hickory. My dad was a big man. I thank God for every whooping I ever got. Hey, I thank God that my daddy wouldn't let me run around with other teenage boys and ride around in cars. Might be because I'm here today, too, because he took the initiative to be the man of the house. He's always been pretty bold. I mean, he still tries to tell me what to do. And you know, I'll still listen. I respect him. He's 90 years old. If he don't fall, don't get hurt, he might make it to 100. My granddaddy always wanted to make it to 100. Maybe he'll let his firstborn, maybe God will let his firstborn make it to 100. Wouldn't that be a blessing? My granddad made it to 93. He wasn't in love with money. He was the head of his home. There's not but one girl there. One's all that's dead out of them eight children. And she probably got a checkup, probably had her heart checked. She probably wouldn't have died. She might not have. I mean, the Lord, it's in His hands, it's in His plan. Now, some of them's in bad shape. But Keith, they still, all of them still married the same mate but one. But one. The youngest. What about that? I never really thought about this, that in depth. But my papa never was, he didn't covet after money. He just worked. I remember him coming in at 70-something years old. I think he was probably in his 70s. And I remember him coming in, he'd go out with the mules in the morning, he'd come back at lunch. Brother Tony, he'd lay down in there on the floor for about an hour or two. He was a slim little man. He never was overweight. He sweated a lot. And lived to be 93. And he fell and broke his hip. I think that's what happened to him. He fell and broke that hip and he just gave up. He'd tell us stories. He'd tell us the same stories. I could tell you some of them stories. Men, we need some men. We need some women that will fall under the submission of the man. You can't be right with God if you're not right with your husband. If you're not submissive to your husband, you can't be right with God. You say, "You're judging me." No, the Word of God's judging you. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and be out of sorts with your husband and be trying to rule him. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of that going on. Men. We need some grandmothers. What's happened to our grandmothers today? They're trying to look like little teenagers. What happened to them? Thank God for grandmothers. Thank God for some that will take their place. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. This message is tying in pretty good. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Men. Bible does say for the older ladies, teach younger ladies to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to love their own husband, not somebody else's husband. You know what's happened, don't you? Send them off to the workplace and they got rubbing shoulders with some other man. And get to talking, they get comfortable with them. Next thing you know, divorce. Because you think you found a better pick. It's vice versa with men. They get to looking at some other woman. This Facebook junk, it could probably be used for a good tool, but it's just junk. It's gossip. People put their dirty laundry on there and let everybody else see it. They talk about one another. God help us. Instead of Facebook, we ought to have our face in the book, as Brother Willard used to say. Get your face in the book, it'll take care of a lot of these problems we got. We need some men to stand up and be men. The Bible said evil men will wax worse and worse. We got these shootings going on in theaters, in schools. They took the woman. I ain't even gonna call her a lady. The woman that was helped get prayer out of schools. It started back in the 60s. I remember some godly old grandmother school teachers. They could read the Bible. They could pray. Wasn't all this junk. We could carry a knife to school, man. There wasn't nobody worried about somebody pulling a knife on somebody and cutting them. Even them mean boys, they got better sense to do that. Now we got them carrying their guns to school. And we wonder what's wrong. We're legalizing all this sodomy, killing babies. We've killed millions of babies in the United States. In the name of pro-choice, God, help. That baby forms just as soon as their conception. That little baby is a life. Life begins at conception. Men. Love of money. You know, abortion clinics making a lot of money. We've erred from the faith. We've pierced ourselves through many sorrows. A lot of people getting killed. Hey, these kids go to school, and you don't know whether they're coming home or not. You say it can't happen in our county. Yes, it can happen. I've been watching. They've done one car went through our parking lot, and there's a guy walking up the road right now. I try to keep an eye on the back door. You don't know. We're living in perilous times. Hey, if the shooter come in this morning, he shot you, would you go to heaven? Is your sins forgiven? It could happen. We pray he won't get out the door. We pray that he won't get very many. We're trusting God. I believe the Lord will protect us. The devil, he wants to silence this kind of preaching today. And he's about silenced it. You look at the big congregations, the Joel Osteens. We don't say such derogatory statements as hell around here. Well, we're going to preach about hell here. We're going to preach about heaven's sweet and hell's hot. We're going to preach about a loving God that died and shed His blood on Calvary's cross that we don't have to go to hell. There is a real hell. I don't care what the cults and the isms and schisms say. They'll believe in it one of these days. I hate it that they're going. But if you reject Jesus, you're not going to heaven. God gave the best that He had for heaven's worst. And then we repay Him in our sorry living today. Money, men, morals. Have you ever seen such a moral decline today? We're living in the last verse of Judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I don't care how much they make it legal, it's still wrong. Hey, alcohol's still wrong. I don't care if it is legal in our supermarkets and our kids have to walk by it and they just get desensitized to it because they've seen it all their life. And you got church members that sit around, oh, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine. I think He took them water pots and they were full of water. I don't believe He made no fermented wine, do you? You got to study that wine out in the Bible. Hey, God wouldn't have said wine's a mocker. Strong drinks are raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise, if it was okay. Wine can be talked about, the grape in the cluster. It can be talking about unfermented wine, or it can be talking about fermented wine. If you're a wine bibber, you're just as much kin to a drunk as that piglets are to a sow hop. God against that stuff. Hey, I'm preaching it right. I'm not going to compromise. We need some modesty in our churches. We need ladies that are modest in apparel. You didn't have to worry about the way people come dressed at church. It's come so prevalent. We've just watered this thing down and let the standard down till it's just everything is okay. Amen, preacher. I'm glad I was brought up the way I was brought up. I'm glad I was brought up under old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. I wasn't brought up in this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me stuff. And I believe salvation is easy. I believe it's easy to get. The Bible talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. But you know, just because you repeated the sinner's prayer don't make you saved. I'm not a Calvinist, but I do believe there's God's part and man's part. The Bible said, all that the Father give me will come, and him that will come I'll in no wise cast out. Have you ever been convicted by the Holy Ghost? Have you ever taken your place as a sinner? Has He ever changed your life? There'll be a change. I don't care if it's one of these little kids that get saved. There's going to be a change in their life. I know what happened to me. Changed me. Men, money, morals. Morals are just everything on TV. I mean, it's nudity, nudity, nudity. You go down to Panama City, Destin, you get out there on the beach, them women with them thongs on, you're looking at them. Hey, I wouldn't want to be there when Jesus comes. No, sir. The eyes are in the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Good to go on vacation. Just keep your clothes on. Keep your clothes on. Cover up your nakedness. I want to tell you, these men are every bit man. Something comes in front of them, they're going to look. They don't have to lust, but they're going to look. Am I preaching it right?
Yes, sir.
You don't need to come to church and girls with their dresses up to right there. I've seen them sit on front bench, man. And they needed lap towels. It'll get tight. I know it's going to get tight. That's okay. If you're saved, you're different. If you're an officer of church, you're different. You're an example. I know they're going to come in, Miss Sarah. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love them. I'm going to make them welcome. I thank God this young lady, she come in today. Brought her little boy and little girl. Her daddy and me grew up in the same community. What about that? Money, men, and morals. Moral decline. Moral decline. The immorality's got in our churches. Never seen so many preachers as fallen. They get caught up, run off with the secretary, run off with the pianist. What's sad, a lot of them keep preaching. The Bible says, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desires the good work. He must be blameless. Husband, one wife. I've seen them, Brother Keith, they just keep right on preaching. If I ever do that, and I won't, by the grace of God, I won't never go back in the pulpit again. Probably won't have to worry about it. God probably take me out. I believe that. Hey, these high-octane preachers that run around preaching and everybody running after them, and then they run off with some other woman, divorce their wife, marry other lady, and then go in these other denominations and preach. And then they can't understand why these preachers around here won't have them. I'll tell you why they won't have you. Have them because they're wrong with God. God help us. Money. Men, morals, marriage. Well, it's because of these other three things that the marriages is not going well today. Didn't start out right. It don't end right. God help us. When the divorce rate is more among evangelical Christians than it is the lost world, something's wrong. You know, anybody that's... If a couple is raising their kids in church and they're in church, divorce shouldn't ever be an issue. It shouldn't ever be an issue. If we're right with God, I'm telling you, if we're right with God, Brother Allen, it shouldn't ever happen. Yet I've seen so many times, independent Baptist church, I'm preaching to independents this morning. I'm not preaching to the Methodists and I'm not preaching to Pentecostals. God knows there's a lot wrong with them too, probably, but I'm preaching to independent Baptists. I'm not even preaching to the Southern Baptists anymore. I'm preaching to you. Divorce should never be named among God's people. When we took those marriage vows, we said, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. Hey, if we're going to be poor, we're going to be poor together. God bless us, we're going to be blessed together. Shouldn't there be an issue? We need to teach these kids when they walk down the aisle, they need to protect their purity. I heard a young pastor, a pastor's wife, daughter the other night, she stood up and she made a plea to the young people that they would protect their purity. Y'all walk down the aisle, you ought to be pure. You ought to be able to wear that white gown and be honest about it. You ought to walk down the aisle with the right young man, a right young lady. If you're right with God, you pray. You don't have to shop around. Just be patient. God will send you the right mate. Boy, he sent me the right one. We have had a good life together. And I think it's getting better all the time. We've had a good summer together. I hate to see her go back to work. wish she didn't have to. She really wishes she didn't have to. But we got to have insurance. You say you're not trusting the Lord enough. Well, I think I am. He gives us a brain. He expects us to use it. I'm not telling no lady that they can't work. But I'm going to tell you your first priority is your children. If you can't work and be there for them kids, then you need to quit working. Bible does say, my daddy, he'll dogmatically tell you, you ought not work. Be chaste keepers at home. That's the best situation. We're living in a complicated world. I mean, even in pastoring the church, it's different than when those old timers are coming up. We're being faced with things that hard to deal with today. We got to have discernment. I'm talking about your marriage. You want your marriage to last? You need to be in church somewhere under a good Bible preaching like this. Preaching that will tell you the truth, that not skirt the issue. And I'm not going to apologize either for what I've said this morning. If you don't like it, you take it up with God. I never wrote it. I just quote it and I just preach it. He wants you to have a happy home. And these things happen. But hey, if you got it right, forgetting things that are behind, I press toward the mark and the prize of the high calling of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Hey, this went pretty good for just... I didn't have no 3 pages of preaching. I just had 2 passages of Scripture and 4 thoughts. Money, men, morals, and marriage. I thought that would preach. You could divide them up and make a big series out of it, I guess. But that's probably, I'll never preach it again. That's one of them that God just gives you and you move on. A lot of messages I preach over, if the Lord will let me. A lot of things I preach here, I've already preached. And it's a good thing I'd studied my Bible down through the years and prepared myself. There's nothing wrong with preparing yourself. A lot of these guys are down on preachers that go to school. They think they're going to learn to preach. You can't learn how to preach at school. If there ain't no preaching there, it ain't coming out. Now you can learn homiletics and hermeneutics of preaching. You can learn to put a message together, but they can't teach you how to preach. I've seen some guys that couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. And they knew the Bible right and left. And it was good teaching. You say, you've been critical. No, I'm not. I'm just saying if God calls you to preach, He puts some preaching in there. And if it won't come out, then you might all check up. Might not be no preacher there. Amen. Well, I feel like that's the message this morning. I'm not going to linger around. I feel like I've got what God wanted me to off my heart.